let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Great to have you with us on the program today. Remember the website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back with us on the pro is B.D. Salerno. She was born in New Jersey under the zodiac sign Libra. From an early age, she was fascinated by the stars and planets and was taught the night sky by her father, an Air Force flight officer who navigated by the stars when flying secret missions during World War II. B.D. has studied astrology for over 20 years, is an avid reader of true crime stories. These two hobbies gave birth to her interest in forensic astrology, in which horoscopes of events are used to determine the circumstances surrounding those events. She's the author of two books. By the way, she earned a bachelor's degree in English and Italian from Douglas College, attended grad school at Rutgers. Her books are Forensic by the Stars, Astrology Investigates. We've talked about that on the program. It's the second time that BD is back with us to talk about her new book, Exploring Forensic Astrology, The Secrets Behind Famous Family Murders. Exploring Forensic Astrology, The Secrets Behind Famous Family Murders. BD, welcome back on the program. Had you back because we had so much to talk about with the new book, we didn't get it done in one show.
Yeah, it's great to be back, so let's get started, Rick.
Yeah, there was so much there. I'm going to just go back for a second and sort of lay the groundwork. I mentioned that you got started with your dad. When did this move from, you know, a fascination where this was something I got to share with dad and I really enjoy this, to where you realized, hey, this really is important. It's like maybe the oldest science and the truest science in the world. When did it become so much a part of your life where you really went on a mission to spread this?
Well, the early memories were of getting a telescope and spending time in my backyard watching the night sky, and my father would explain the constellations because those were patterns of stars that the Air Force used to navigate during night flights. Right. And in learning about that, I also learned, there's a myth behind each of these constellations. And at an early age, I got a sense that there's some deeper meaning to all this. I mean, if the constellations were known about for hundreds and thousands of years and these myths existed, there had to be something behind it, some knowledge that I wasn't yet aware of. So I studied the solar system in school and actually wanted to become a woman astronaut.
Interesting.
Back then, it was a woman astronaut wouldn't come along for another 25 years or so. But I had that fascination for the planets, and at that time I was only learning through science, you know, my science classes at school,
right.
And I did a big project on the solar system and made, you know, models of all the planets, and I learned a lot about them. So there was that bridge time between, I would say, middle school and adulthood where I didn't really pursue it any further. Obviously, I didn't go forward with becoming an astronaut or even working for NASA, but a friend brought astrology to my attention sometime after that, and it sort of rekindled that old passion that I had for learning about the planets. And so I sort of dove headfirst into it, learned a lot about it, but I was working. I had a career as a paralegal, and I really didn't, and I was doing other things at the time. I had a lot of other hobbies. So I kind of learned stuff, and then it went dormant, but then probably back in the 90s, I took up the study much more seriously. And that's when I really started to dig in and learn what astrology can do besides, you know, party games or what's my sign. And, you know, I was kind of dealing with it on a superficial level before. So I started to study what we call horary astrology. And that is a key to using astrology to answer questions, which you can do. And it's an amazing use of the art. And going further with that, I learned more about answering questions about what happened into something, what happened in an important event. And it led me up to crime somehow, because by then I was reading a lot of true crime stories. And I just decided, well, let me look at the date that this happened and see if I can find a time that I can use to cast the horoscope. And I started to be shocked at what I found. And then I also was discovering literature by other astrologers who had written about crime as far back as the 1960s. And thus, it was like, that's why I call my new book Exploring Forensic Astrology, because this is a long evolution of the study of what I am now working in.
You know, it's interesting, and the book is called Exploring Forensic Astrology, The Secrets Behind Famous Family Murders. It's available at all the places across the country, and of course you can go to BD's website, which is astrologyinvestigates.com, and you can link on directly to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and get that information as well. BD Salerno, our guest on the program, that's S-A-L-E-R-N-O. It's interesting, when you started looking at these cases, and you have them in different categories we're going to talk about here in a second, and because of your fascination with crime and the research that you did, was it difficult going in and looking from a forensic astrology standpoint with an open mind? Maybe you've already made up your mind. This is, I think, what happened, because this is what I'm reading happened. Was it difficult to keep that open mind as you went in to investigate?
As an astrologer, it's always difficult to keep yourself aside from what you're looking at,
right,
to keep that level of objectivity. But I have to say, it worked in reverse in a number of instances. For example, I never thought that the Ramsey family was involved in the murder of JonBenet, and we touched on this in our last interview. And I really did, I just adamantly did not think they could have done something like that to their daughter. So I had a reverse bias. But going in, I was like, oh my, I'm finding this and this of what I call my astral evidence and the pointers to their involvement, and it completely changed my view. And so I was open enough to think, well, I was just wrong. I just, you know, you hear certain things in the media, and it's really hard to remain objective. But at the same time, there were other cases in the book where I really thought Natalie Wood's death was purely accidental. And then I did the chart, and it was a chart showing indicators of violence. So I don't think that would just be falling off a boat. I don't even think it made sense that she went outside the boat in the first place, as it was related to the police. And she went to secure the dinghy. Well, she was terrified of water, and that was well documented. So I did maintain some objectivity. Well, I can't say complete objectivity, but when I didn't, I was aware of it, and I was often surprised by the results. So I stuck with what my interpretations gave me and put myself aside, because you really have to work at that when you are the sole interpreter of the data you have.
Yeah, and the book that we're talking about is Exploring Forensic Astrology, The Secrets Behind Famous Family Murders. BD talked about that at length in a past program that aired a couple of weeks ago. You can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, go to YouTube and iTunes, the archives, and you can watch and listen to those particular programs. Pick up with some of the new cases that are in the book, and you've got, as I say, you have this, according to sections, this is the murder of a child by one or both parents. And the Marvin Gaye case is interesting. It comes up in news from time to time as he's honored for something. We bring up the circumstances of the killing. Talk about that and what you found with your investigation.
Well, that was a very sad case for me, because he was so popular, you know, when I was growing up.
Yes.
But it was also eerie, because the day that he was killed was his astrological birthday, and therefore some of the elements of that day mirrored the premise of his birth, which showed really a lot of difficulty and possible violence through the father. And those also came up on the day he died, which is, I think, was his 40th birthday. So there are a lot of reasons why things happen, and they're mostly foreshadowed at birth. There's sort of a pattern of destiny there, which was very clear in the chart. Also, what I did in this book was to take the person's birth data, which I did was not working with in my first book. The birth data gives you such an overview of the likelihood of certain events in the life. And I'm not talking about this is predetermination. There's always a chance that it isn't fulfilled. But it did show indicators of the problem with his father. And I actually found those from old texts that I researched in trying to find out what are methods to determine the nature of a murder. and there were many of them from the ancient astrologers. So those bore out in the chart, as well as what looked like in his birth chart to be violence through the father.
So that's interesting. You say that it's not predetermined. Actually, if you have this information, you may be able to do adaptations and make some changes in your life. So this really is valuable information to have, not after something is over with, but as you're entering into a circumstance, a situation of some kind.
Yes, part of the reason I do this is to show people the power of astrology, and not just that, oh, you know, you're going to be murdered in 30 years.
Right,
don't do that kind of astrology. Anyway, but the point is, since it can be seen, why not have the foreknowledge? Why not have the personal understanding so that you can develop as a person, maybe learn some things about your own motivations and behavior, and maybe those things are not set in stone. I think that's really the point I'm trying to make whenever I talk about astrology, is that this is a tool of guidance. Let's use it. It's out there. It's very helpful, and it can be used to understand whatever happens to us.
At the end of the book, you say you can't completely erase the darkness, but we can work to curtail its activity and level of disruption in our lives. So by having the charts, it really gives us an advantage, doesn't it? We're aware of something we otherwise may not be aware of.
Yes, it is. That's what I really, one of my favorite terms is, it's a tool of awareness. And most astrologers actually do consult with clients about life issues, the same that some people would go to a therapist,
right,
or an analyst, and a lot of people go to astrologers and for guidance. I used to do that kind of reading early on when I really, I wasn't as seasoned an astrologer as I am now, and I would be dismayed by the fact that most people were really, they wanted to know about when would they get married, how many children would they have, and things like that. And I was more geared toward the psychological counseling, like, well, you may have trouble with relationships because you have deep-seated insecurities. So I kind of shied away from giving readings because I honestly wasn't, I felt like there was too much value placed on predictions and, like, what's going to happen next year. And I was never oriented towards predictions. So I did discontinue doing counseling when I first started out. It's a very demanding, profession anyway.
Right.
And as I said, I had another career going on. But there is value in having one's chart read, at least for the sake of awareness. If you have certain issues that you really never told anybody about or nobody is aware of, and the astrologer brings them up, well, that's sort of opening the door to learning more about yourself. And so, therefore, in my term, tool of awareness, I think it's very important for people to have that at least as an option.
It's interesting in the book, and we talked about it on the last program, Scott Peterson, and all of the red flags there when you went back and did the astrological investigation. Time going by too quickly, as we knew it was going to. Let's talk about the Bob Crane situation. This was back in the news again. It seems like every 6 to 12 months, somebody comes up with, we've got conclusive proof, actually, what happened. Talk a little bit about that and what you found was different than what a jury found.
This is true. And you know what? I just watched that clip on YouTube the other night. I think Channel 10 in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes.
Had a reporter who had the DNA tested from the car that John Henry Carpenter, the person who was the main suspect of killing Bob Crane, there was blood in his rental car that he used that evening that Bob was killed. And they went back and had it tested, and there was a lot of expectation on the part of the detectives and the other people, the reporters, that would conclusively show that was blood of Bob Crane in John Carpenter's car, and therefore he was, he committed the murder. Well, they found out that it wasn't, and so it was like a live show, and there they are, crestfallen, because it didn't prove their hypothesis. But, the reason he was acquitted in the first place was that evidence was so deteriorated. We didn't know really that much about working with DNA, and I believe the trial was 1992, the early 90s. And the deterioration had taken place to the DNA and probably the blood, too. So I don't think, I was not as dismayed as they were to find that result. That was the original judgment. Well, there's insufficient evidence to convict.
Yes, in fact, you say in the book a different verdict from the court of the cosmos. So do you think we'll ever find out exactly what happened?
You know, that's a good question. I kind of got the feeling after watching that show that the door was shut on that case,
yes.
Which is kind of sad. But I not only did the chart of that event, Bob Crane's natal chart, he had problems with friends. He would go out of his way for friends and have problems as a result, which is what he did with John Carpenter. He would get girlfriends for Carpenter because John Carpenter by himself was socially inept. He didn't, you know, go out. He was an awkward person around other people. And Bob was the gregarious social, you know, life of the party guy. And so they complimented each other that way. But also, you know, Bob was getting girlfriends for his friend John. And at some point, I think that was probably a real drain on him. It was a responsibility that he probably wished he hadn't started to begin with.
That story many more in the book, Exploring Forensic Astrology, The Secrets Behind Famous Family Murders. A couple minutes left in the program. That's something we may never know the answer to, but it's put into focus as we're reading about that in your book. What are some of the other stories that you would direct people to? We've talked about several, and I get the impression out of all those that you go into, the JonBenet case is something that really stays with you. That had a long-term impact on you, didn't it?
Yeah, it still has, and with all the attention to it just in the past several months, it's been reopened again, at least in the court of public opinion is a very mixed place for that case, but it does bother a lot of people because it was a little girl, and, you know, the pictures of her, she looks like such a sweet little girl, and it's so tragic, and it's disturbing that it hasn't been resolved. That one, of course, is up there on my list. I'm also, because in the chapter on Natalie Wood, I wrote about how much I admired her growing up, and she was around for so many decades in the movies. We saw her, every aspect of her, as a little girl, and then an adolescent, and then a young woman, and she was like the girl next door. We kind of grew up with her, my generation at least, grew up with her. So that one stays with me because there's just been a lot of evasion about what happened, and yet that can still probably be resolved. And some of the other ones, many of these people have been caught and imprisoned, and some of the one that struck me because it was in a town right near me was the John List family murder.
Yeah, that was like in your backyard. I mean, you were in a small town close to Westfield, if I recall.
Yep.
So this was something that you were really familiar with when you started the investigative process.
Yeah, there's a dimension of a crime that when I'm somehow close to it or I know somebody and, you know, I don't usually know people involved, but
yes.
Just being near that town, being familiar with that town. Same with the Menendez brothers. Those boys went to Princeton, which is about a half hour from here where I live now. And that was creepy because they bought a small restaurant after they received the inheritance from their parents' murders, which they committed. And I had eaten there. kind of gave me the creeps to find out that they had bought that place.
Yes.
Briefly because they didn't hold on to it very long. But when there's a personal element, like if it bothers me or if it's in my home state, or sometimes things just ring a certain way with you, and that's what spurs me to investigate these things.
Are we going to see a book number 3?
I'm thinking about it. I took a little break after this one because this one was so much more intensive than the first book, but I love doing it. I'm taking a little break, and we'll see how things develop.
Well, stay in touch. We look forward to having you back on the program to talk about book three. You do such a great job. You have to do book number three. Number one is Forensic by the Stars, Astrology Investigates, an excellent book. Exploring Forensic Astrology, The Secret Behind Famous Family Murders is book number two. That's what we're talking about on the program. Information is available at BD's website, astrologyinvestigates.com. The author is BD Salerno. That's S-A-L-E-R-N-O. And, of course, you can go to thisweekinamerica.us and link on directly to our website. Books available at the usual places, including Amazon online. BD, it is always a pleasure. So many great stories in the book, and it's fascinating. Once you start reading, suddenly you're through the book already because you go from one to the other. You can't wait to the next story in there. Thank you so much for coming back and sharing that with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure, Rick.
It is our pleasure. Once again, the book is called Exploring Forensic Astrology, The Secrets Behind Famous Family Murders. Information available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us, or BD's website, astrologyinvestigates.com. Stay tuned. We're right back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.